So in other words, you ask yourself, what I'm doing now that everybody is seeing me, would I do it the same way, the same thing, when nobody sees me? If the answer is yes, you are Baruch Hashem a tzaddik. If not, we don't give up. We have to work on ourselves. Because a lot of times it's we know ourselves. If somebody says we behave better, we do better things, we show, like everybody knows about it. It's like this thing that I don't like it personally, that they sell all the aliyot and all the things in shul. And you know, people want to show off and they give this and they fight and that. I don't like it, but you see, that's exactly the point. This guy who now donated $1,000, would he donate it when nobody knew about it? So in other words,
when were you getting money out of somebody?
I didn't. So what we are trying to improve ourselves.
They did it in all the shuls.
Yeah, it used to be.
Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because that's when the people came. And
you see, it depends how the system was working. You know, in our, for example, our shul, you pay member. Yeah. You as a member, you pay. You don't need to sell things. But in there are some shuls that they don't take member fee. They just, the money they've got is from selling the mitzvahs. And okay, right, wrong. I personally don't like it because it makes people do things that they don't want to do, and makes others that haven't got it to do things that they cannot do. Because they have to play along with the sky, and it's putting people in a bad position.
Right.
And sometimes somebody hasn't got the money, and he doesn't put in. He's not going to get any mitzvah, which is wrong. Yes.
You spoke, and that was last week or the week before. You said something when they built the Mishkan.
Yes.
That God, he stopped. Aaron said, that's enough.
Yes.
So that was because, and you were talking about equal. That the mitzvah of someone who earns a lot of money, 10% is a lot of money, but he doesn't give that.
Yes.
Whereas a poor person that gives 10% of his earnings, you know, gives 10%.
Yeah.
So then he stopped the people from giving. What was
no? That is nothing to do with the 10%. This was giving donation to building the Mishkan.
Yes.
So because they brought so much, didn't need anymore. Didn't need anymore. You know, this our parasha is telling us exactly where everything went. And that's it's also a very interesting point. But our parasha is telling us exactly where everything went. You can look to the parasha. This was here. This went here. This went there. In other words, that's what you needed. You didn't need anymore. So what was happening, the people were doing it so quickly and they wanted so much to make for what they did wrong that they brought it. They brought so much that Moshe had to stop them. Enough. We've got enough. We don't need anymore. Alevi, it would happen today. You see, this is exactly the point. You see, one of the reasons that he's doing the calculation here, people say that because they were suspecting Moshe that maybe he took something for himself. And it's a funny thing. It's also a big lesson. What's the lesson here? If you remember the golden calf, nobody asked for details where the money went or how much was. No accounting was being made. No cheshbon, no nothing. And what was the golden calf? Just a small thing. Millions of people gave gold to it. Now we're talking about the Mishkan, that everything was covered with gold there. You see, we had the ark, you had the table, and everything is gold and gold and gold and more. So really, we're talking about big quantities.
Where did they get so wealthy?
From Egypt. When they got out of Egypt.
But they were slaves.
Yeah, but when they got out of Egypt, they took from the Egyptian, they asked them, didn't steal, they asked them, and they gave them. But that's only the small thing. The big thing was on the sea.
Mm-hmm.
When they all, you know, all the horses and all the carriages, they all were full with gold. And when they died, everything was thrown out to the other side of the sea, and Am Yisrael took it.
Mm-hmm.
So they got very wealthy from Egypt.
But Hashem told them to take.
Of course, Hashem told them to take.
To So the Egyptians agreed to give it to them. No, exactly. Now when they
well,
it,
in the
Egypt, in Egypt,
it's written because they like because you see them. They no, they didn't. They were no. They thought that they're going to come back. They just gave it to them to use it and then give it back. The ish'ilu lahem. They lended their cutlery, the whatever they the, even. Let's say you ask for a glass. They give you a glass and a cup and a saucer and everything. Because they God put it in their heart
to love
Am Yisrael and to give them whatever they can. Like they felt a part of Am Yisrael. You see, let's think about it even logically. This nation is being a nation that starts as princes. They are being enslaved. And then the God comes and he, he does there in Egypt. He still teaches them a lesson they will not forget for life. So now, those people are asking you, it's like a god comes to you and asks you, wouldn't you give him? A prince comes to ask you, wouldn't you give him a present or something? Hey, take and use it. I'd be honored if you use it. And that's what happened. So they gave them. But that's they said this was nothing compared to what they took on the sea. Bizatayam. They say it was much greater than what they took from out of Egypt. Because you can see it in films also, you know, where they when they had the gold cherries and they had the horses covered with gold and things and the, also their shields and the things. Everything was with a lot of gold there. Because gold showed that you are a big shot. So they, okay. And now they took all those things and brought them to the Mishkan. And but the question was, why we do a calculation here and in the golden calf, no calculation? It teaches us another lesson. When we're talking about donation, we talk about donation. We do a calculation. I'll give this and that. No, I haven't got money. This. But if it's a holiday or for us, I don't do any calculation. It's holiday, enjoy life. We spend whatever it is. I don't care how much it costs. Don't we do this? Don't we do this? But when they ask us for a donation for the shul or for a poor guy, we're working out exactly what we're going to give. But when it's our own pleasure, okay, so another 1,000 shekel, another, I don't know. But, you live only once. You live only once.
The
thing is, not me or not you, the thing is, what would you do, as we said before, you have two situations. One is my enjoyment, and the other is the other guy's enjoyment, or let's say even worse, the other guy needs the money. Donation. Truma, tzedakah. What is my calculation? Where will I give more, or, you know, if I give the same, it's okay. But would I spend more on myself or would I spend more on the poor or the same? That's the question. And unfortunately, we all know that normally people will spend on themselves much more than what they spend on others. It's natural.
Yeah.
That's but that's exactly... That's why you have to be sincere with yourself in everything.
That's what we're talking
because
about.
Because you always make tricks in your mind.
That's what we're talking about. That's
okay.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Irrational.
Yes. That's exactly what we're talking about. That's the idea. That's why the Torah again and again says, Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Because when we start doing our own calculations, we all know where it goes. So how do we do the right calculation? So we said, first of all, you have to listen to yourself. Really listen to yourself. And really want to hear the truth. And if you're not at that level, you have the Rebbe. You go to the Rebbe. You know, ask him, is it the right thing to do? Or is it the wrong thing? By the way, you can also learn by yourself. Today, it's very easy. Now, we have so many... it's not like years ago. Years ago, there was nothing written the way it's written today. You had the Gemara. That not everybody knew how to learn Gemara. Or Mishnah. But today, you have, for example, also the Gemara. You have the Gemara... And Schuttenstein, Steinsalz, you read it like everything is explained.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you really want to know, there are ways to know. There are ways to do the right thing. And if you still don't understand, there is always the rabbi.
Then you've got to choose the rabbi.
Yes, of course. We said that's one of the hard parts. That's one of the hard. It's not so hard. You see, I tell you the truth. It's not so hard if we really want to choose the right rabbi.
Yeah.
The hard thing is that Yetzer Hara. I take this rabbi. He's a nice
he's a
guy.
Light rabbi.
He's a light. Yeah,
he's a light rabbi.
He's going to let me do this and that. Okay,
that's
let's
right.
take him.
I don't know where I this week we receive in the box in the door a persona from Araf that you saw.
What?
You also received.
Where is where
that's
you
true.
Put it?
I
you
don't
want to show.
I think I throw I away. Is a rap that is a psycho that makes a consulting psycholog,
psychologist. Nice.
And he charges. It's not a bechina.
No, but he dressed like a Haredi. You know, it's not.
So he dressed like a Haredi.
No, I want to say, don't like the way I dress. I come next week with a beard, with a longer beard and a
yeah,
coat and a
right.
black and a black
and
suit.
A black.
Yeah, and a black suit, man, no problem.
But
yeah,
in one side
that's
was
our problem.
Hebrew, the other side was
French.
Was French.
Yeah, because
yeah.
now there is a lot of French here with
yeah.
euros.
I was in Italian today.
Dirty
French.
Euros.
I said,
okay.
I, Italian,
yeah,
said. I tell you, we talked about it quite a lot. That's exactly what we're talking about here. You see, unfortunately, there are a lot of people today that look for help and they desperate. So they go to whoever, and there are those, unfortunately, they use this thing. They take advantage of those things. Like, I've got the ad, I saw it a few times, about this guy who is reading and writing Kmeot and Kabbalah and saying, this nonsense. Did you see Reb Chaim Kanievsky advertising, I'm going to give Kmeot to somebody?
What is Kmeot?
How do you say it in English? It's
like
special things for... How do you say Kmeot? How do you say Kmeot in English?
I don't know.
What's it?
Kamea.
But is this things from Azal?
Yeah, honestly, no. They're written on cloth. On the they put things. They put it in a box and thing. All those things.
That will bring you good.
90% shtuyot b'mitzagvaniot. And you have to understand.
To, what do you have to the read to those things?
Yes, yeah, unfortunately,
the
you have it all over.
The
you open the radio, you hear those schmonses, those tuyot, unfortunately. You see, there is what we talk, yes, we talk Kabbalah. There is Kabbalah Ma'asit, there's Kabbalah that you learn. Kabbalah Ma'asit is when you practice Kabbalah. Nobody is allowed to practice Kabbalah. Nobody today is allowed to do it. And nobody does it.
Especially
the real people, they don't do it and don't talk about it.
No.
The minute somebody is talking about it, there's already a problem. I'm sure there are tzaddikim that have powers and
it's
things.
Yeah.
But all this thing, this is not something that you go around the street and tell everybody. And certainly you don't use it to make money. Certainly not. So in other words, when it's one involved, you start
Madonna?
Thinking.
Yeah,
yeah, that's Kabbalah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going, not come to.
So, you know, I always say to people, you know, I once somebody came and tried to tempt me to do some business with, never mind, something very big. It's just got investors from the States. The end of the day, it was nothing. We're going all around Israel, and one of the things, we had a meeting with one of the somebody very important, that he used to be the, how do you say, nispach kalkali,
attaché
kalkali,
economic attaché
of the Romanian ambassador in Romania, the Israeli ambassador. And he was telling us about, you know, this time, that time, even now, I think a lot of people went there to do a lot of money. They bought property, they built malls.
Romania.
Yeah.
Invested money there, but they built buildings and flats and malls. And people thought that the money is on the street there.
Yes.
So he told us, you know, Nobody talks about those who lost all the money there. And I have to tell you, because they all came to me. And there was such a small percentage that did money there. Who says, mm-hmm. I must tell you, most of the Israelis that came there lost everything. Everything. There were girls coming to them and took him. It was so. He says, I saw the stories. I could cry every day about the stories I heard. But here in Israel, everybody was talking about this guy did this, that guy did this. And that's the way it works. The same thing is with all those Kabbalistic. You talk about, let's say, 100% of people that goes to him, and 2% he was successful. Why was he successful? Statistics. Simple statistic. You know, for example, a couple hasn't got children for 10 years.
Right.
They go to him. They still haven't got no children. For 20 years, they haven't got no children. But they went to him, nothing happened. Then, from, let's say, 2,000 couples that came to him,
one.
Five
got pregnant.
Not from him, though.
It's not from him. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's from the Holy Spirit.
From what goes on there.
But the thing is that what does he do, or what all the followers doing? They tell you the story about right. this big success, but nobody talks about the hundreds and thousands of failures. It's like one of the funny thing is, yeah, and a few times I heard it. This rich guy. He comes and gives this tzaddik, yes, money, and wherever he comes, he's the first one to go in. All the others can wait, he goes in. And one of those people was giving a lot of money, lost the money. And when he came to the rabbi, they let him wait to the end. And nobody even cared about what's happening to him. But what was puzzling me is, he says, are you stupid? You went to him. Who know what he promised you? You gave so much money. In the end, are you rich or poor? You lost all your money. So where is this tzaddik? It's like they promise you mountains. And nothing happens. Because, you know, with all those things that the talis were, what they sell in the radio, in the papers, everybody in Israel had to be 100% healthy, with 10 children, with no illnesses, and happy the whole day. Is it? Is it this way?
Yeah.
So, what's wrong?
But you know, a lot of people.
Let me ask you a question.
To the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
There, you're talking about a different thing. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't. Sorry to say.
Didn't take money.
Not only this, he didn't promise promises.
No.
He blessed. God will give you. Give them. He didn't. You are going to get $2 million. You are going to have. And the Atzadikim that have power. You have to understand. The Atzadikim that have power. Definitely. But they're not shouting around the street with it. Yeah, sorry.
Now, I want to ask a question. I have always a doubt, a big doubt. Because I it's written in Pirkei Avot that you don't have to make with the Torah a business.
Yes.
And then there are these some organizations that they teach Torah, okay, and they charge money for this. Is this kosher? Is it the right?
Yeah. No. You see, it's very easy to say no. It's not right, because the lechatchila, the intention is, you know Torah, you teach Torah, you don't ask for money for it.
That's
But let's say you have an organization, and this guy is putting all the efforts in teaching. What do you want? How do you want him to live? From what?
He's got to make a parnasa.
He's got to make parnasa.
No, but this is exactly the point. He's making from the Torah parnasa.
The thing is, why is he doing? No. The question is, why is he doing what he's doing?
Why
is he doing it for the money, or is he doing to teach Am Yisrael Torah? But he has to live, so he takes money for it.
Listen, you are asking a question like, who begin before?
That's the question.
The chicken or the egg? No. It's the same thing.
That's exactly the point. We're talking the whole shiur about this.
I'm betting on
the egg. The truth is in the heart. The truth is in the right connection to God. And you have to understand and realize, it's not easy to say. It's not easy to say. But for example, a rabbi of a community, should he get a salary or not?
Yeah.
I'm asking you. What do you think?
I know. But he's
should
not
he get a parnasa?
Depends.
Yes.
Depends.
Because, why?
It depends.
Because
it's
why?
Because he's a professional. He's a professional.
But we just now say, don't make a profession out of the Torah.
Just a minute. He's not only to teach Torah. He's like a leader of a community.
So what?
It's the same thing.
But there are people, organizations that only teach Torah. They don't do anything. You are not even rabbis. They are not even klum.
You heard about
and they teach and they charge money.
You know Idabrut?
Yosef.
Idabrut, you know?
What about Yosef?
No, you know Idabrut?
Idabrut, yes.
Idabrut, you know?
Yes.
They have a whole building.
Yes.
Like they do good things. They charge money.
To teach?
Yes.
You know, he's
when you ask the rabbi to come to you, you have to pay for it. I also was amazed in the beginning. And it leaves me with a bad taste. But when you look at it and think about it rationally, you understand that otherwise they wouldn't have the money to do all the things they do. Not, you know, sometimes donation is not enough. So what are you going to do? And you know, it's getting bigger and bigger. That's the point, you know. If you're a small guy, you know, I give a lesson here, a lesson there. Baruch Hashem, I panosa from something else. I don't charge nothing. I even give my books away that I wrote. I give them away. I don't sell them. But Baruch Hashem, because I panos from other places. But if,
you know,
let's
why?
Say,
you know,
no,
why?
He said God
because,
says that
because you
are
teach
allowed.
Torah
I
like
never
this,
also
Hashem sent me
because of him,
it's different. You don't make from this apartment.
You see, this is exactly that's the problem.
Yeah, but what is
you know, I was raised in a different way. That's what I'm saying, but I understand it.
I thought about this.
Yeah. It's like a teacher in school. Should we get a salary or not? A teacher in school.
Like I told you, he's a professional. He studied to be a teacher to teach. But these people didn't study Torah to teach.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. See, that's exactly the point. The point is, why do I do what I do? As we said in the beginning, you should ask yourself those two questions.
No, I said the other.
He has to ask the question. We don't know. We are not in the place of God, that I'm saying. We have to be very careful with this. But this guy who is doing what he's doing, this great rabbi, okay? He has to ask himself, why do I do what I do? Do I do it for the money? Or do I do it for God? Now, if he's doing it for the money, it's wrong. If he's doing it for God, but he takes the money because he has to survive and to bring Parnosa to his house, it's okay. Would I do the same thing if people see me or don't see me? The same question. Mm-hmm. Who do I expect to get me the reward?
It's a very thin line.
Exactly. That's why not everybody is kosher. 100%. It's like you're talking about charity. You know, unfortunately, how many charities are run in a way of a business and the charity itself get almost nothing? Unfortunately, it happens. Exactly. It's a problem. It's, for example, I've got a few people that I give them.
Yeah, that's what.
And I know
that you know that are.
I know that they need, or I know that they are going to give it to those who need. Mm-hmm. But if people ask me, like in the street or in come to shul, I give nothing. I don't tell nobody, but I personally give nothing, because I don't know who it is, and to tell the truth, I don't believe 90% of the stories. And from the other side, the Torah is asking us, and I always talk about it. This is,
not to say no.
No. The Torah is asking us, when we do a mitzvah, we have to check what we're doing. We just now talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can give a donation. You can have the good intention, as we said in the beginning of the shiur. Mm-hmm. But the result of your good intentions, deeds you do, are going to be a disaster. For example, a junkie comes to you to ask for tzedakah. You're giving the money. He's going to take drugs, and then the next morning you're finding out dead in front of the shul. Why? Because he took drugs. So, who is to blame? It's a difficult situation. In other words, you have to check who you give. It's like, I remember this rabbi, he said very nicely, somebody comes to you in the middle of the street with a diamond. He says, you see this diamond? It's $100,000. I sell it to you for $10,000. Would you buy it?
No.
Why not? A metzia.
What? Probably not worth it.
In other words, what would you ask him? I want to check. After I check it with a professional and see it's really worth $100,000, maybe even if it's 90 or if 80, if I have a good bargain here, I'm going to buy it. But to buy from somebody a diamond in the street with no checking? Nobody. What is the mitzvah? The biggest diamond of all. So you buy it with not checking what it is? Is it really? Is it clean or is it dirty? Diamonds you check. If there is a small dirty in it, you don't buy it. But the mitzvah? Okay, give. And you have to understand, it's funny to say, but you look from the outside, see this guy, he gives so much money to the poor. He's a tzaddik. But the Torah would say different. He's not a tzaddik. He would be a tzaddik if he would check who is giving the money. Or how does he give it? Does he give it from his heart? Or does he give it in order to calm his conscience? Because 2 minutes before he did something, whatever. And so a lot of people think like this. Okay, I did this wrong, so I'm going to give a donation and everything is going to be okay.
That's
not exactly. That's not our way. In other words, even when you do something that looks from the outside, wow, what a tzaddik. If the inside is rotten, it's rotten.
That's so
hard. But we cannot judge people. That's what I'm saying. You have to be very careful when you look at. You don't know why he's doing what he's doing. You know, there was this guy who was collecting money. And people used to look at him down, like, yes. And they found out later on when he died, this guy, that he gave all the money to poor people. He humiliated himself. He was a tzaddik. He humiliated himself in order to help poor people. And all the money he got, he had money.
In Ranana?
Not in Ranana. All the money he got, he gave to poor people. Here in Ranana was also a guy that was this, I don't know if you saw him, was a guy, a German guy. He died a few years ago. He used to come to our shul on Erev Shabbos normally. A German guy. He had a terrible story, but he had a lot of money. And one of the things, after he died, they found out all the things. And once one of the family got a phone from a shop in Neibarak, a Tzarchania, whatever. He says, I want to tell you a story. Now I can tell you after he died. And I heard he died. And you wouldn't believe the story. He says, one day, this guy comes to me and he said, I want to open an account here in your shop, but it's going to be opposite your account. He says, what do you mean? He says, I'm going to give you money and you're going to give this money to people that learn Torah and haven't got the money. Like, in other words, you look in your book, in other words, those who owe you money. No, those who owe you money because they bought stuff from you. Right. They bought bread and butter and whatever. And you give them, if they ask you who paid, the gvir paid. You call the account, the gvir. Nobody knew who he was. He told nobody. Nobody knew what he did. And he was given big money. Now, this is the real tzaddik. But only he looked like a simple guy. We can judge. We know.
And he used to come to the show?
Yes.
To ask money?
No. This is a different story. Don't think of it. What I'm trying to tell you.
He came to pray.
Yeah, he came to pray. We were talking about it. Also, me didn't tell him. I heard it after he died. They heard this is one of the stories. There are a lot of things he was doing. But this is exactly the point. We look at people and we judge them. Do you know who he is? Do you know what he does? It goes both ways. And like this guy was going, humiliating himself and taking money. And everybody says, what is he asking for money? And maybe even put him in the category of those who don't need the money and just take it like a profession. And then what we found out? That he was giving the money to poor people. So you have this and you have that. And it's a problem. So I try not to insult nobody, but I don't give if I don't check. The same way is when somebody wants to give me a diamond, and a mitzvah is a big diamond. I won't take the diamond if I don't check it. Because if I don't check it, I might do a wrong thing. It's not only drugs, it's smoking, it's a lot of things. In other words, it's very easy to quiet my conscience and give. But is this a tzaddik who gives? No, it depends. Did you check? Did you work for it? Not everything that looks good is good. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. That's what we do. Looks right, doesn't look right. That's not us to judge. The Torah judges. The Torah tells us what's right and wrong. I hope that we have Yetzer Hara, we have the fight, but at least we all try to go in the right way. And we know, if we know the problem, you know your enemy, you know how to fight it. So sometimes we lose, but sometimes we win. It's like, this week in the Gemara was a very interesting part that this Rabbi Abau was a great tzaddik on Amora. He says that Eshet Chayah says, but tishak liyom acharon. She will laugh at the end of the days. And talking about the neshama, talking about the woman, talking about the neshama, that the neshama when it comes to the next world, she will see the reward that's waiting for her, and it's going to be very happy. So Rabbi Abau, they showed him before he died, the reward is waiting for him. He says, wow, all of this is waiting for me? And I thought that I did everything for nothing. So everybody's asking, what is this guy? This is a tzaddik. He knew he did good things. He knew that he's going to get rewarded. So what was he amazed from what? So they say, they bring the mashal from the Magid Midubna. He says, what this guy, this poor guy, who had a relative very rich, and he heard that his relative is doing a wedding. So he knew the date, and he knew that this day he's going to have a meal. Chaval al hazman. Says chaval al hazman. So a week before, he didn't eat. The night before, he didn't eat at all. Like he was, I'm going to eat tomorrow. The problem is he didn't get the invitation yet. So the morning comes, the invitation is not there yet. And he's starving. Comes 12 o'clock, his stomach is glued to the back. Now he says, he has to eat. So unfortunately, he goes to the kitchen. What has got onion and radish and horseradish, whatever. And you know, he eats and eats, fills himself, and the gassing one go out from all the parts of the body. And then a knock at the door. A messenger comes from his relative. So, what? We forgot. You invited. Of course, you invited to the meal. Wow, come to the simcha. So he's going. He's hardly walking. He comes, gets the sits on the table. All the good things. He cannot eat anything. He's full. So his relative comes and says, wow, the food is no good. He says, the food is unbelievable. But I fill myself with onion. So what is the idea? We fill ourselves with stupid things, nonsense. We don't leave a place for the good things, for the spiritual part. And then we have to fight with ourselves in order to clean ourselves, in order to put some good into us. He says, and now what did Rabbi Abau see? Rabbi Abau, he knew you get rewarded for the good things, but he didn't know that you get rewarded for taking out the obstacles you put in. In other words, you sinned, you filled yourself with nonsense, now you're cleaning yourself, which is a hard job. So, should you get paid to cleaning your dirt, or should you get paid for doing a mitzvah? What do you think? Doing a mitzvah. But God is paying you also to clean the dirt. Yeah. That's what he saw. Otherwise, you did a sin. It's like this guy. He covers the way to his house with dirt. And then he wants to go in, and he has to clean the dirt. And he's crying. Why are you crying? You put it there. Now, is somebody going to reward him for putting the dirt in front of his house? He's a stupid guy. God tells you, you know what? You dirty the place. You did a sin. You filled yourself with dirty things that you're not supposed to do. And of course you're not going to get the reward for this. But if you try to clean yourself, I'm going to reward you for it. And this is what Rabbi Abbahu saw. And this is God, our Father in heaven. He is paying us. He's rewarding us for what? Even for cleaning the things that we did wrong. Not for doing good. That's definitely we're going to be paid. But for cleaning the dirt that we did. Also for this we're getting paid.
But if you recognize sincerely that you did, that you feel...
If you don't recognize, you are not cleaning.
No, but even you can clean without recognizing sincerely that you...
Yeah, that's what he's saying. You have to listen to yourself. That's what he said. The test is to listen to yourself. We hope, Bezrat Hashem, that we do everything we can. Kasher tziva, Hashem et Moshe.